Hey everybody, welcome once again to our morning devos. Today's passage is 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm not going to read the whole thing for us, but we're just going to read up until verse 15. So this is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and he grew up with him and with his children. He used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." Then Nathan went to his house. If you haven't read yesterday's passage, I encourage you to do so. But just as a quick refresher, we saw how David's unrepentant heart led him deeper into sin and further away from God as his heart grew increasingly hardened. The sin that he committed was he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband, Uriah the Hittite, killed. And, you know, we talked about the necessity of regular repentance and the power it has to lead to freedom. And, well, today we see David come to repentance, but with a little bit of help. At the very end of chapter 11, we read that the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And so at the start of our passage today, the Lord sends Nathan, a prophet of the Lord, to David. He approaches the king and tells him a story about a rich man who takes, kills, and uses one of the little lambs that belongs to his poor neighbor. And by use, I mean takes and kills the lamb and uses it to feed the rich man's friend. Upon hearing this, David becomes incensed at the injustice and says, "The man who has done this deserves to die," which Nathan uses as the opportunity to say, "You are the man." Meaning you were given much by the Lord. You were given the whole kingdom and many different resources and even many wives. And yet here you are, having done evil in the sight of the Lord, striking down Uriah the Hittite and then taking his wife to be your wife. You are the one who deserves punishment. Nathan then lays out the punishment that will come from God, that his house will be filled with violence and whatnot. And then to which David replies, "I have sinned against the Lord." I think this is a really powerful moment, and it's worth pausing to examine. Think again about yesterday's passage. As of this previous passage, David's heart had been so hardened by his sin and unrepentance that he had a man killed and felt absolutely no remorse for it. Yet, here he is, confessing his sin. What changed? Well, the short answer is the Spirit of God convicted him of sin. But what I want to point out, I want to highlight here, is the vehicle by whom the Spirit worked. That's the prophet Nathan. The prophet Nathan was the voice that spoke God's truth and led David to recognize his sin, and as we'll see later on, to a true attitude of repentance. Another way to think about it is that Nathan exhibits what true accountability is meant to be like. I think there's a lot we can learn here from the prophet Nathan. Accountability, at least in the way that many of us think about it, is something like meeting up with someone or a group of people every once in a while to pray, or maybe be a part of some kind of email chain or group chat where you share your thoughts on a Bible passage or a Devo. Or maybe you kind of get together, you share about certain struggles. Some groups have been in the past, or like when it comes to sexual purity. So you get together, you talk about your struggles with this. And my experience, at least a lot of these groups, it just kind of ends there. You know, all those different ways, these things that we do, there are ways to keep each other accountable. And I do think that there's a way all this works. But accountability in the true sense, when it comes to walking with the Lord and for it to actually work, is when you actively point each other to Christ and help each other to keep our eyes on Christ. So this does mean that sharing requests or struggles or helping each other to be in the Word, those things are part of it, but it's also sometimes, really often, means correcting somebody when they've done wrong, pointing each other to Christ when there's a deviation from that, just as Nathan does here. Now, it could be easy to hear what I'm saying and read this passage and think, well, of course, Nathan was a prophet. Of course he did this. But let me ask you, do you think it was easy for him? David was the king. And as we just saw in yesterday's passage, he was a king who wasn't afraid to have someone killed for being an inconvenience to him. I think Nathan knew all of that. And I don't think it was easy for him to do this. However, he was still obedient to God. And therefore, he did this out of that obedience. God had called him to speak to David, so he was willing to confront another follower of God and point him towards truth, even despite any discomfort he might have felt, or fear, or just the risk of personal loss. And you know what? Praise God that he did this, because, I mean, otherwise, who knows how David's life could have gone. Again, it can be easy to read a passage like this and think this type of accountability, this kind of calling out, is reserved for the current day equivalents of prophets like Nathan. Maybe people like pastors or other leaders, that you might think that it's up to people like that to teach and to correct. And yeah, sure, it certainly is part of a spiritual leader's responsibility to do that, but this view is only partially correct. As followers of Jesus, as part of members of the family of God, we're all responsible for one another. It is all of our duty to point each other to Christ, even when it means having to rebuke or correct or point out things in a fellow brother or sister in Christ. And yes, it's often going to be uncomfortable. And I totally understand. I consider myself to be a non-confrontational person. You know, doing stuff like that is not something I enjoy by any means. I'm, to be honest, a bit of a people pleaser. And so, you know, just pointing things out like that is really not a comfortable thing for me. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. I'd rather be nice and just kind of get along and keep the peace. But over the years, I've come to recognize on a deeper level that not pointing out areas of sin and just letting things slide. And you know what, even if it's not necessarily sin, if it's like just, you know, doing things in a way that's not helpful, you know, if I just let things slide all the time, well, that only causes more harm than good. We might think we're being loving by being nice to the people around us, but if we allow our fellow brother or sister to continue sinning or walking down a path that isn't going to actually help them walk with Jesus, then we're actually doing the exact opposite of loving them. Of course, all of this needs to be done with a great deal of grace and compassion and humility. Yes, there can be appropriate times for confronting someone with very strong words, sort of like Nathan did here in our passage, but we want to always begin with a firm yet gentle approach, and always with an attitude of humility and grace. The purpose of keeping each other accountable isn't simply to point out wrongdoing. Rather, it's to exhibit Christ to one another. Like Nathan, we can all become messengers of God's truth and point each other to Christ with, again, a great deal of humility and compassion, and point people to Jesus' forgiveness and grace, and when necessary, help each other towards redemption in Christ. You see, when we actively help this, seek to keep each other accountable, we get to be a part of leading people into God's grace. And that's because nobody is too far gone receive God's forgiveness. David recognizes his sin. Despite all that he has done, he finally recognizes it. In verse 13, he confesses that he has done wrong. And as soon as he says that, Nathan says, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." Really, David's punishment for sin should have been death. But because he was able to repent, the Lord had put away his sin and determined that David would not die. We see that there are other consequences for David's sin. There are always consequences for our sin. But God shows David grace and forgiveness immediately upon his repentance. What an amazing thing it is that God loves us in this way. And what an amazing opportunity it is for us to lead others into that when we walk with them in this kind of way. So in your own life, what are some ways that you can be a Nathan to those around you? How can we be more active in keeping each other pointed to God? I encourage you today to prayerfully reflect on this. Consider how you can walk with others, keeping them accountable, pointing them to Jesus in all circumstances. But for now, let me close for us in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this example that we see in the prophet Nathan. And Lord, I confess, I know that my attitude sometimes, because I just want to keep the peace or, you know, not step into what might feel like uncomfortable situations. I just want to be a people pleaser and just kind of let people do what they do as long as it doesn't seem too bad. But I confess that, Lord. But Lord, I also recognize, I have come to recognize more and more, this passage reminds me today just how important it is, Lord, for us to be active in loving our brothers and sisters by keeping them truly accountable in the sense that we point them towards you, correcting them when necessary. And Lord, I know that this is, again, not comfortable for all of us, but Father, help us to be proactive in this way. Help us to have a heart of real love and compassion and humility as we do this, such that, again, it's not just to point things out, it's not to make us feel better about ourselves, but Lord, it's so that we can all live at the center of your will, enjoy the life and the freedom that we have when we walk in a manner that is right before your eyes. And so, God, we thank you for this word. Thank you for your provision for us, your grace that forgives all those who return to you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.